Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Hello and welcome to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast. I'm Paul, your host. This podcast is all about Porsche and their cars and the people and the technology and the engineering that goes behind it. You'll find your Porsche stories, which is us, me, talking to you about your Porsche, your journeys and your life experiences with those cars. Tech Talk, which is all about the technical aspects of Porsche. Waffle, which is just me whittering on about basically anything with some friends, and Heritage, which looks at the entire journey of Porsche from the earliest days to the present day. If that sounds interesting to you, then stick around. Welcome back to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast, and welcome to episode 24. We're going to talk about Alex Nash's Porsche 356A, and we're going to get to that in a few minutes. That's your Porsche story, which is already out on YouTube, so you can go and watch it if you're a YouTube viewer. If you're here just for the audio and you're driving around all over the country, if you're some sort of truck driver, or if you're sat in a coffee bar and having a nice cup of coffee and you've got your headphones in, or if you're just really that bored at home that this is what you've ended up listening to, then welcome to the podcast. I normally do it, if you're new to this podcast, I do a check-in quickly before I get to the meat of the actual podcast episode. So this is just that check-in. So on that, monetization. So the Rengineering YouTube and podcast is dedicated to the Porsche brand, but also it's about the Ren 550, which is my build at some point, but it needs funding, and that isn't cheap to fund a car build from scratch, especially when you're talking about a carbon fiber bodied Porsche 550 Spider Evocation based on a Lotus chassis, a Lotus Elise chassis with an air-cooled engine. None of that sounds cheap. It's not. So I funded a fair chunk of it already myself. I will continue to do that, obviously. But by monetizing on YouTube and people watching and subscribing and supporting the channel, as soon as it's monetized, all that ad revenue goes into the pot to be actually building the car. So when I say subscribe, you know, it's because it's funding the channel to actually do something specific. So if you want to see a car being built from scratch, the longest piston heads or Jalopnik thread in the world, this is it. So yeah, do head over to YouTube and subscribe and follow and like and share and tag and yeah, and comment. All those things really, really, really help. I'm about 2/3 of the way there to being able to monetize. So and this has all happened in the last 6 weeks. I think last time I checked, on a 28-day cycle, because that's how YouTube works in terms of its data and analytics. The channel's at about 260,000 impressions and about 28,000 views per month, something like that anyway. So in good shape for a pretty new channel, getting new subscribers every day. All this is really great news, and even better, some of the feedback I've had. I had someone specific from Auto Farm reach out after the Auto Farm episode and say how much they appreciated it and they thought I was doing a really fantastic job. So, which is great. Really nice. Lovely to hear. I always like hearing flattering feedback. Who doesn't? So all good on the channel front. I've had the feedback from the podcast. There's still work to do on the podcast to be, you know, the consistency is really important. It's a really congested space now, I think, in the automotive sector. And you've got lots of people doing a really high quality podcast. This is much more meat and potatoes. It's much more down to earth than some of the really well crafted ones. At some point, there'll be a podcast studio with proper gear that makes it all sound absolutely perfect. But I'm not going to invest that money, because the way this works is In order to do that, I would have to have separate podcasting and separate YouTube channel content. What I want to do is be able to combine the two. So if you, as I said before, you can either watch the episode or I'll distill out all the important bits and put that in a podcast episode. So either way, whichever way you look at it, you're going to get some good content. But that does mean it's a little bit more raw than some of the other polished ones. But I'm still here fighting the good fight. So yeah, and there are still 5-star reviews for this podcast, which is a bit of a miracle, but there they are. Industry news. There is a bit more news on me, but I'll come to that at the end. Industry news then. Sustainable fuels at Goodwood. Goodwood next year for Festival of Speed and Revival are going to be using wholly sustainable fuel, which is absolutely amazing. And it's such a show of the fact that it is not just about electric cars. I think the only one I've really loved so far is the McMurtry, because it blew my mind going past. I think it blew everyone's mind going past. But yeah, the fact that sustainable fuels exist, they're being invested in, I think it's really going to start shaping, you know, a properly sustainable future, which is, and this is what really gets me going about greenwashing, is it's not about how you fuel your car. It's about the entire life cycle. So raw materials, build, you know, all the supply chain that goes with that build, the distribution, you know, the marketing even. I mean, it literally goes on and on and on. All of these things contribute. So, you know, I ran a 2012 VW Up with over 100,000 miles on it. It's a 1 litre with the belly, you know, it's pumps out just over it's just over 100 grams per kilometre of CO2. And therefore it attracts the minimum amount of road tax as well for the UK. I don't know how it does. It's done it elsewhere in the world, but over here it's broadly based on emissions, and that's how the taxes run for the cars. It costs absolutely nothing to run. It's been through its life cycle. It's out the other end. It's basically worth nothing now. That is a much more sustainable way of operating a car. It's not for everybody, obviously, but if all you need is a city car, buy something old that's easy to maintain. Don't go and buy a brand new electric car that's going to cost you 30 grand, or unless it's a Honda City E and they are just the best, the coolest thing ever. But by the by, anyway, I'm getting a bit, you know, being in my bonnet about sustainability, and the fact it's a much bigger question. There is an episode, I think I mentioned it before, there's an episode coming out fairly shortly where this is all discussed at length. But for now, I'm going to leave it there because I'm going to get a BMW bonnet. But it's really good anyway. The upshot is it's really fantastic news to see that Goodwood are investing in sustainable fuel. In terms of Porsche specific, Theon have released their new car, the GBR002. And I've been on at Theon for months now to visit them. And I think I've just beaten them to a pulp. And yes, we're going to do that at some point in the new year. Hopefully when spring's kicked in and it's a little bit nicer, and then I can hopefully, fingers crossed, take out a Theon. It's going to be epic. They are, if you haven't had a look at the Theon cars, they are unbelievably well built. I got at Goodwood, talking about Goodwood, it was this year, I pretty much climbed underneath it because I'm always a bit, not suspicious isn't the right word, but curious to know whether someone, you know, a builder has paid as much attention to the things you can't really see as they do to the things you can. There have been examples, I'm not going to mention the names, where I've seen cars that look on the surface like they're really, really well built, and it's really only when you start peering into where the hinges are, or, you know, underneath a valance, or just where it's, you know, you don't expect people to pay attention to. For me, I really look at those sorts of things, and I saw that stuff wasn't finished well. Not that I expected that with Theon, but it was such a pleasant surprise to see, you know, the catches for the boot or the engine hatch, you know, all the mechanisms, the hinges for everything. Everything was so beautifully detailed, and then you've got this carbon fiber body draped over the top of it again, which it shows enough of the carbon, but it's not just showing raw carbon for raw carbon's sake. The level of restraint that's applied to those cars is really, really deeply impressive. So I'm really, you know, And I've always said with this podcast that I'm so new, relatively new to Porsche. I've got no real experience of driving anything air-cooled at all, ever. I've just been in some 356s now, and I'm starting to sort of work my way through the list, but there's a big difference between being around them and then driving them. So I'm hoping, I'm really planning on 2024 is moving into less of the looking at and sort of dribbling over like everybody else does, and more of the actual getting to experience some of this stuff firsthand, and then being able to share that with everybody on the channel. I know that's happening for a couple of brands that I've definitely got relationships with now, you know, invited to Tut Hill, for example. I know I'm going to go again. I'm going to Tut Hill next year. That's being booked right now. They were pretty happy with the small episode that I did that was caught with Richard Tut Hill, which you can go and see on YouTube right now, a couple of episodes back. So these things are all really good. CAM Manufacturers, the other one that we've had these conversations, and there's been an agreement for me to go and drive those cars. So, and 911 Rennsport. So it's going to be a big year next year in terms of experiencing things and not just looking at them, because there's only so much you can say when you can't actually drive something. So yeah, very, very, very good. And congratulations to Theon for the GBR002. The next thing I saw, it just dropped into my email box, and again, really enjoyed it, which the Collecting Cars company, and I know they're going global now, but they haven't been global historically. They're from the UK, and it's really interesting to see when they put their email content out. I almost always delete everything that I get through that's spam. I hate spam. I hate junk mail. You know, if you ever sign up to anything from engineering, the only time you'll ever get an email drop is if it's particularly for an event or you've won something. That's basically it. You will never get spammed. I hate it so much. So when I got this thing through from Collecting Cars, I hovered over the delete button only to see that they one of their topics was the 991 and what you can expect to pay, which piqued my interest. So I dived over and clicked on the link. They got their wish, and I had a really good read, and it was really, really interesting. And they were talking about paying about 40,000 British pounds for a base model Carrera, and then scaling up from that with the S. I learned a few bits that I did not know before. I mean, I knew about the fact that it's a much more of an aluminium construction than a steel construction. Those sorts of things I had heard before. But it was really interesting to look at the 50th anniversary. I didn't know really anything about the 50th before. I'm starting to think, wow, if I was to buy, I'm not going to buy another 911. I've just got my Cayman back. But if I was going to buy one, that would be on the shortlist. I didn't know that 1,963, you know, obviously 1963, were made 10 mil lower with PASM, Fuchs inspired wheels. Yeah, I knew that. Houndstooth cloth centres. And based on a wide body car, but a Carrera S mechanicals with a power kit. Really, really cool. I don't think I'd do a great deal with it. It'd be another one of those cars that very, very subtle OEM plus additions. But yeah, it's really cool. So it's a really well thought through article, and it goes through the entire range and talks about everything from the base model all the way up to the Touring, the 991 Speedster, and the GT2 RS. So yeah, just a really cool, I'd put a link in this, but there aren't really links particularly for Spotify and Apple Podcasts, but I will put in the link for the in YouTube. As I said previously, YouTube is ramping up its podcasts being used through that particular outlet, so that's very good. Finally, the next week, so this week is all about Alex Nash's Your Porsche Story. We're going to get to that in a sec. Next week will be RPM Technic, who I visited last summer, I think it was. And it has been a little while. And every time I chat to Lydia, who is the person I chat with for the that long form story, she was like, when's the episode coming out? And I've always been like, very soon. So it's actually be really nice to be able to message her and say, oh, by the way, the episode's going out next week. So Lydia, if you're listening, finally I'm getting to do it. So, but it was a really lovely chat. And again, I'm going to get into it next week, so I don't want to put too many spoilers in, but I didn't realise RPM spanned all ages. I thought they were much more of a modern Porsche company. But seeing the workshop at the back of the premises that you'll see in the YouTube video, you realise how much, so not restoration work they specifically do, but curation, maintenance, but on a really deep level, just making sure that everything's right.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I was so impressed, and Lydia was so lovely and took so much time with me that, and I got an invite to go back at some point as well, which I need to organise, and we'll do that next year as well. But that episode's coming out next week. But that wasn't what I was going to talk about. The bit I was going to talk about was Manti Racing have finally released the Manti Racing 4RS kit. RPM are a Manti Racing authorized dealer. So if you're one of the handful of lucky people that have got a 4RS, and I am deeply, deeply envious of you, get in touch and let's set something up, and I can come and have a look and experience it for myself. I would love that. But also get on the phone to RPM Technic and get yourself booked in for that Manti kit to get fitted. I don't know how much further they can go with the Cayman. I mean, that's it, right? That was the end. That was the kind of big swan song. So, I mean, they did it in style, that's for sure. And then next up, we'll be talking about the electric version. I'm kind of coming across like I'm anti-electric. I'm not. It's just it needs a lot more thought. But we'll see. I think next year we're going to see a lot more of the Boxster electric and the Cayman electric platform. And we'll take it as it comes. No judgment. We'll wait and see and hopefully get a drive and figure it all out from there. The last thing I'm going to mention before we get into Alex Nash's 356 Your Porsche Story is me. I've got some news personally. I'm not going to mention the company I work for, my day job, in terms of the actual company name. You can go and Google my name and it'll come up, because I do want to maintain some distance, because they're not connected to engineering anyway. But I work in the aviation sector. My background is all engineering. And finally, after doing lots of work on this, I'm picking up the role of STEM Outreach Program Manager. So for the company I work for, my job is effectively going to be inspiring young people to get into STEM jobs. And I'm absolutely over the moon that I'm going to get to do something similar to engineering and get paid for it by the day job, and then do it for this as well. It's such a wonderful opportunity. I'm incredibly thankful to the company and everybody that supported me through to get to this stage. It's an amazing thing. I can't wait to learn more and be out and at careers fairs and colleges, schools, universities, the IET, the Royal Aeronautical Society, all sorts. So it's going to be a big year for the day job and a big year for engineering next year. And on that note, I'm going to hand over to myself and Alex Nash, and then I'll catch you back up at the end as normal. Well, welcome back to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast, and welcome to another episode of Your Porsche Stories. This car, I saw this car in London back in 2021, I think it was, in Old Bond Street in London, and stumbled over it and couldn't get enough. Somehow I've ended up getting to know Alex Nash that owns this car, and he very kindly spent some time with me at the first Rengineering Cars and Coffee this year, 2023, and let me talk to him all about his journey with this car and his other car that's currently in build. So stay tuned for that. And this is Your Porsche Stories for Rengineering, the YouTube and podcast. Mr. Alex Nash.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Very good, yourself?
Yes.
Good.
Thank you. This car, so we'll get onto this car in a minute.
Right.
But I was trying to think about when I first noticed it, and it was back when you were randomly parked in London.
Was it Bond Street?
Bond Street.
Yeah, down towards St James's area.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just saw this on the side of the road. And I almost had a heart attack. I loved it so much. It is absolutely stunning.
Thank you.
But anyway, your Porsche. This is your Porsche stories. This is, I think, the second or third one.
Right. Okay.
All of your Porsche stories is taking somebody back to the start.
Yeah.
Of their car buying car career.
Right.
Let's learn a little bit about you first. So your first. What's your first car kind of inspired memory? Like, where did that come from?
I think with the Porsches, my mum brought me like a Le Mans Sky Electric set as a child, and it obviously had the 911, you know, the G50s, G30s. Anyway, so I had the whale tail, and there was like a black car and a silver car, and I think I was probably about six, I think, and that was for me. That was a thing. Just the whole shape.
How old were you then? You were
probably six or seven, I think. Really? Yeah. Right. So probably. 82, something like that.
Right, okay.
So 82, 83.
So that's six or seven.
Yeah.
Did this continue? Did that love of cars continue?
Yeah, I think it's always continued, you know, just the appreciation of just vehicles, really. But it's not until we get, like, later on in life, you can achieve what you want to achieve, really. And I also think, you know, with the Top Gun, you know, Kenny McGillis and the Speedster, that was just like an iconic, and I think it was probably...
Was it 86, 85?
Yeah, so that was like first year of like secondary school, I think that came out. So,
okay.
Yeah,
I mean, it was an iconic film,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that kind of, that speedster coming around, like a bit of an oversteer,
parking up,
and it was all very showy. But yeah, I could totally get why. And so you kind of naturally got to this love of this shape, this kind of model from that, or is there...
Yeah, I think it was, really. Yeah, okay. I think it was. You know, it's it. Is it form over function or function over form?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But these weren't your first, because you've got more than one. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
but this wasn't your first, right? Or is it?
No. What Porsche? Porsche?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that is my first.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Okay. So we are naturally getting to this then.
Yeah.
So what came first, this or the other one?
This one came first.
And I'm right in saying that this wasn't in this condition when you bought it, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It was?
Yeah.
Right, okay. So let's wind the clock back then. You talk me through.
So...
How did you become aware of this car? Where was it? Is it in the UK? Was it abroad? Where was it?
So, yeah, it was on the internet, and actually not far from here, in Hampshire.
Right.
And it was sold at Salon Prairie, I think, back in 2013. And the previous owner lived in New Zealand. And... he had it in Winchester. He had it in Winchester, and he had to release it to buy an Aston Martin that he had his eye on. So
was it advertised? Or was it?
Yeah, it was advertised on Car and Classic.
Right. Okay.
So, but kind of like under the radar, I think little bit. So.
And then you just got in touch with the guy and said, that looks ace.
Yeah, well, I went down there.
I haven't got a Porsche yet. Yeah, why not start at the top?
I went down there and said, you know, these are the figures I'm, you know, thinking about, and obviously they made the phone call to the guy out in New Zealand, and we done a deal. So
really, yeah. And you never met the guy?
No, I never met the guy.
Wow.
No. So,
did you know much about his use of the car and like?
Because
this can't be original paint or anything.
No. Right? Originally, it was red.
Oh, was it right? Okay.
So it's restored back in 2009.
Right.
Yeah, so I purchased it as is, and I've just had the engine rebuilt about 18 months ago.
Right. Okay.
So.
Okay. And for those, and including me in this as well, for those that don't know what this is, what is this exact car? What is it?
So it's a 1959, obviously, Porsche 356A.
Yeah.
So you had like the T1s, which were earlier, which were just a little bit more rounded, and then this is a T2.
Right, okay.
And then before that, you had the Gamunt cars and Kinga Scribes and like the really early stuff from like the late 40s.
Had you done all your research
to know that you wanted this particular car or this like this year, or is it more about you were looking for the car that kind of stood out to you and resonated with you and you were going to chase that?
I just wanted this.
Did you?
Yeah.
Right.
I just wanted it's one of those things, you know, if you've got like a design background, yeah, you know, I'm into very much in design and everything, it's just a timeless classic. It's a bit like a Gibson Les Paul.
It is.
You know, for me,
what you want is a Les Paul that's painted in the same colour, like a really reddish rosewood fretboard or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Really cool.
So
we've got, so the paint colour is?
Fashion grey. Yeah, which
original
was,
P-car colour?
Yeah. So it's like a 53 colour.
53, right.
So the guy that restored it obviously didn't want it to go red, so.
Right. But it looks amazing.
He put this colour on it, so.
And then the interior colour originally was?
Was red, red leather.
Oh, cool, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's red and red leather.
But you didn't have the interior trim yourself?
No, it was all done.
Previous guy.
Yeah. So,
wicked.
Yeah.
Amazing. So the engine, you had it rebuilt 18 months ago.
Yep.
Was it, because it's in, I mean, we'll get some shots in a sec, but it was in just normal working condition, but not
yeah,
that special?
Just,
or?
No, it just needed some stuff doing to it. And it's
right.
Like, if you're going to do it, just go wholeheartedly and just.
Yeah, yeah. And
just
you did.
Just do it. Cause do it once and do it right.
And, yeah. And what I like about it is it's, it all feels right. It's not too, much like random chrome and, you know, like
yeah,
you
yeah,
kept
yeah.
it. Is it basically as it should be? Is
yeah,
there
yeah,
anything
yeah,
you've done
yeah.
that's not?
No, it's got bigger heads on it and bigger valves
right.
just to keep up with, well, just a bit more.
So it's actually got something.
Yeah,
you
know, so it cruises at 70.
Happily, right?
Happily, you know, and it, yeah. Yeah, I've gone over 100 in it, but obviously she's
but
an old girl. It's just like,
is,
you know.
You're kind of like apologising as you do.
Yeah,
it's okay,
yeah,
I'll
yeah,
bring
yeah.
you back down, don't worry. And what I love about this, and obviously we've been getting to know each other a bit over the last few months,
yeah.
but... you use this car.
I do.
This is not a show queen, right? This is not trailer.
Not clean.
It's been what?
So
3 hours to get here or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, yesterday. So, yeah. You know, a few stops on route, you know, Goodwood and a couple of other bits.
Yeah.
Because obviously that's down, you know, my neck of the woods. But, yeah, I went on the 356 International in Munich back in May. So there's like 15 cars that left Harwich to the Hook of Holland. And then we took like... 3 days to get down to Munich.
Right, right.
All 356s. And then, so the International was in Munich. That was like a 2 day event over the weekend. And then I headed south to Austria and Gmunt.
Mate, this
where,
is.
Where it first started. And then came
right.
over the Grossglockner, which was open that day. It was the first day because obviously it was still snow capped mountains.
Can I get some pictures off you? And I'll chuck some pictures in now of some of that tour.
Yeah. But yeah, literally.
And it was all right. It was like enjoyable.
Absolutely
not
stunning.
Stressful.
Not stressful at all.
Wow.
Not stressful at all.
Amazing.
It's just, yeah, and then, yeah, so yeah, 2,000 miles, give or take a few, so,
yeah. Wow.
But yeah, you know, I've been to Amsterdam in it, to Zandvoort, the Zandvoort Historic last year, and then went down to Dijon as well, Dijon-Prenoir.
Wow.
But yeah, it's been to the Cotswolds.
And that's the plan, right, is to just keep using it?
Well, yeah, it's just...
All year round.
Not winter, obviously, because
it
does get cruddy and everything like
that.
So.
The salt's a nightmare, right?
Yeah.
So.
I have taken... Yeah, I took it to Bicester for the Porsche thing at Christmas.
Yeah.
And did get caught out in the snow on the way back, which
right.
was a bit...
Bit twitchy?
Bit hairy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because
it's
thing
like,
you
touch the brakes...
And you've got nothing. Control of it.
Literally nothing.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, being on being skates,
yeah,
ice
yeah,
skates,
yeah.
So.
Cool. Okay, so that's this car. We've already got some nice B-rolls, so you'll see some of that now. Let's talk about the other one. Not content with having one 356.
I've got another one.
Got another
so,
one.
So
where did, like, cause, and that is not in this condition at all.
No.
And that is not going back to a kind of stock-ish car. That's going to be a resto mod, right? Or
It's going to be like a GT spec car, so it's all period correct. But yeah, I bought the car. I knew it needed work, but the level that it needed was.
Did you know it needed as much work as it did?
No.
Right. So this is yet another one of those. Buy it, get a specialist to check it.
Well, not even that. So
you looked at it yourself. And
yeah,
went,
yeah, 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 yeah.
I've been sort of put.
No. It was all so. PRS up at Billericay, they're the 356 guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So they brokered the deal sort of thing.
Fine.
So it's fine. You know, Paul had known the car for like donkey's years.
Oh, okay, right. Good.
I both knew it needed work.
Fine, okay.
So, but once you're in deep...
It's an open checkbook,
get
on with it.
You just got to keep on going, so...
And where is it now? It's paint? That's a paint.
So,
isn't it?
So it should be an epoxy at some point this week.
That's exciting, right?
But the guy that's undertook all the metalwork, he restored this.
Did he? Right.
So he, yeah, his name is in the file. Wow, you know, it's got like cool. A leather bound file on this. And I was at a car show down in Hastings a few years back, and he comes running out of the pub saying, oh, this used to be my car.
Wow.
So I said, you're Lewis, aren't you? And he said, yeah. So anyway, so kept in contact, and about 4 years ago, I said, you know, I'm looking to doing a restoration. Would you be interested? And so, yeah.
And they jumped at it and said,
just jumped at it. I said, you know, this is what it is a week, you know. Hand over your money.
yeah.
But for me, I restore like listed buildings, so I get it.
Okay.
So that kind of
curation and an element of sensitivity about what the design was originally and where you want to take it.
Yeah,
kind of
and
part not of your process, right?
Yeah, and it's just like you can't. What's the word? You've just got to go with it. You know, because you trust other people to undertake works, and it's just like, well, this needs doing. Well, if it needs doing, just do it. You know, let's do it right first time. There's no point cutting corners. And so it's you know, it's the same level of restoration as what I do. So I get it. I do get it. So
And have you got a? I mean, it's probably the wrong question to ask. Really. Have you got a finishing date in mind? Have you guys discussed that, or is it kind of like? Actually, it's probably easier to predict now than it was 6 months ago.
Yeah. So it's done the metalwork. So now it's. It got soda blasted again to get all the imperfections out of it, and just so that the painters are happy with, you know, the product they put on is got longevity.
Yeah.
So.
So you have got a date in mind.
I'd like it to be road ready for like March.
Fine.
Next year.
Next season, basically.
But over like the last 3 years, I've been collecting all, you know, bits and pieces, you know, like Limerts steel wheels, chrome steel wheels, and GT tanks and speedster seats, and
that's so cool. Is most of what you've collected, is most of it either new old stock or kind of original Porsche stuff, or is it a mix of
mix of both, really? So you know that they are making like GT tanks, you know, and Simonson that are over in Germany. They do all the, you know, the panels and everything, like the floor pans and inner wings and such like.
Perfect.
You know, but there's some things that aren't on the shelf that have to be fabricated.
Of course there is.
So yeah.
And you're at what point did you firm up the colour and the kind of?
Oh, so
you had that in mind early on, or does that come to you a bit later on?
It was a driver when I got it, but it was bogged up with filler, literally, like the nose cone. I've still got the original nose cone, so I'm going to put that as a bit of wall art. So,
nice. So
it's in my back garden, just rusting away at the
is
moment.
It?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So, and then I'll probably put the old number plate back on it. Just hand write it and just
beat it
up a bit again. So.
And can you share what the colour's going to be in the?
Oh yeah, it'd be metallic silver.
Metallic silver,
which is what it came out the factory.
Fine. And then red interior again, or
no, brown leather.
Brown.
So
fine.
Got like an Italian leather, so it's not a Porsche. It's something completely different, but it's. Yeah, I saw the leather on a Ferrari, on a build sheet for a modern Ferrari, and I thought that's the one that I want.
Yeah. And you've got a trimmer that in mind.
That's all kind of like lined up. So
perfect.
And the transmission's already been built. That was rebuilt. About 18 months ago, and then Paul up at PRS is building me like an SC engine.
Right.
So get as much.
It's going to be pretty quick.
For a 356. Yeah, be about 130 brake. And then Sebring exhaust.
So I think they
can nick a few horsepower here and there, a couple of horsepower here and there.
I can't wait to see it. well, if it's all right, can we do a shoot when it's?
Yeah.
I don't know when the right time is.
So the Instagram's PAS_177.
PAS_177.
Which is the registration plate. So.
Yeah, fine. So if you want to go and watch and see this, and you're posting photos as and when they come.
Fine.
Okay.
I've only just really got into social media, that sort of stuff.
So, I mean, it's worth going and have a look because it gives you a bit of a backstory anyway.
Yeah.
And this car's account is, or have you, is this part of your personal account?
Yeah, this is my personal account,
and that is?
Alex J. Nash. Yes.
Perfect. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm really grateful. I'm selfishly, I'm going to cut the camera and I'm going to have a little walk around and have a proper look because I've not had a chance. And Ryan, the filmographer, has already been and shot some B-roll. So
nice.
Alex, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
This is your Porsche story. If you're interested in doing your Porsche story yourself, get in touch. Instagram is at RenEngineeringUK. That's probably the best place to catch me. And we'll catch you up another time. Thank you ever so much for watching.
Thank you.
And we'll see you.
Cheers.
Goodbye.
What a nice guy Alex Nash is, hey? Super humble. You know, he's got 2 356s, one in build, one complete that's perfect, that doesn't need anything. It's been driven around Europe. And he's ended up being a good mate. You know, we've got to know each other really well in that last sort of 18 months. I'm still to go out for a drive in that car, and I'm really looking forward to it. So, Alex, I'm pretty sure you'll be listening to this. Let's get something sorted out for summer next year. If you want to be on Your Porsche Stories yourself, you can reach out to me either through Instagram, and you can DM me at RenEngineeringUK on Instagram. You can email me direct, info@RenEngineering.com, or carrier pigeon, warthog, horse, gerbil, you name it. If you want to get in touch, just get in touch, and I'm always up for a chat. So my voice, as you can hear, is really failing on me, so I'm going to leave it there for now, and I will see you next week for the RPM Technic episode, and take care. I hope you're all very well. Have a lovely run up to Christmas, and fingers crossed you don't get some horrible illness like I have right now. Take care, everybody. Bye for now. Hello and welcome to the RenEngineering YouTube and podcast. If this is your first time at this podcast, welcome. Lovely to see you. This podcast is all about cars, Porsche, and the Porsche lifestyle, whether it's looking at the technical aspects of engineering in cars and Porsche, or whether it's the experiences, the road trips, and the people around it that make it what it is. If that sounds like what you're interested in, then stick around.